Before we turn to our scriptures for this morning, let us first turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy God, as we read the words of scripture, we are pointed to your living word who walked among us, and we are surrounded by your Holy Spirit, who whispers words within our hearts and minds. Inspire us in our hearing and reflecting that we may move beyond your words into life-changing acts of grace, love, hope, and peace. Amen. Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 56, reading the first 8 verses. You may follow along in the Old Testament section of your pew Bibles on page 686. Let us listen now for the word of God. Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. Happy is the mortal who does this, the one who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath, not profaning it, and refrains from doing any evil. Do not let the foreigner join to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And do not let the eunuch say, I am just a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it and hold fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Thus says the Lord God, who gathers out the outcast of Israel, I will gather others to them, besides those already gathered. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our New Testament lesson also continues this theme of community. I'll invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, beginning with verse 12, continuing through the end of the chapter. You can turn to page 174 of the New Testament section of our pew Bibles. Let us indeed listen for God's word to us. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior members, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The summer before I started fourth grade, my family moved to Joplin, Missouri, which is in the southwest corner of Missouri. Joplin is about 8 miles from Kansas, 10 from Oklahoma, and 25 miles from Arkansas. It was Bible Belt all the way. We moved there so my dad could accept the call as pastor head of staff of First Presbyterian Church of Joplin, where he served for 12 years. My social circles in Joplin were primarily through the church and through the musical groups at school, where I played the piano and accompanied a number of the singing groups over the years. I had friends at school, but I never felt fully connected to them. I was the one who was different from most of them. One example stands out clearly in my memory. In late middle school or early high school, I had a friend named Carol from one of those singing groups. She was very active in her church, as I was in mine. Well, Carol invited me to attend a Bible study with her one weekday evening, and so I went with a little bit of uncertainty. I felt like a fish swimming upstream or a fish flopping out of water or some similar metaphor like that. But then I started to feel finally like I was going to be okay, because I knew one of the answers in the Bible trivia game that the group was playing that night. The question was, what is John 3:16? Well, I knew the answer for that one. That's the one about God loving the world and sending Jesus, I proudly thought to myself. I still cannot describe how thankful I am that I did not just raise my hand, because I would have been so incredibly embarrassed. The person they called on to answer the question rattled off the verse, word from word, beginning to end, the entire thing, not just the idea of the verse, which is what came to my mind. I felt at that moment that I clearly did not belong in that group. I was clearly different from that pond. We both valued and we both were heavily involved in our church, but we had lots of differences. Maybe you can relate. Carol and I continued to be friends, but I never attended a Bible study with her again. And I never felt fully connected with her. Carol and I were different sorts, and I didn't find many who were my sort there. There weren't many who were like me. I had plenty of friends to go to the movies with, to drag Main Street on Friday night, to talk on the phone, to go to the mall, to have sleepovers, whatever else girls in the 80s did. But I didn't have friends outside the church with whom I connected deeply. But in my church youth group, because of our leaders, because of who they were and the experiences that they provided for us, in that place, I felt like I belonged. We had the usual youth group experiences at church. We had sleepovers and game nights, visiting older people in the congregation, caroling, white elephant parties. and more.
But the parts of the youth group that stand out most in my mind are the events that connected us with kids beyond our local congregation. During my time in high school, my youth leader was Rosemary Ward, and our associate pastor for youth was Jeff Light. These two were very involved in the larger church, and they helped us to be as well. Jeff and Rosemary served on planning teams for Synod youth events as well as Presbytery conferences. They wrote curriculum for youth in the Presbyterian Church, and they wrote a couple of musicals that our church did, and then we would go and perform for other Presbyterian congregations. Because of the connections that Jeff and Rosemary had, we youth felt more connected with one another and also with those who were from similar congregations. The impact on my life from those gatherings was huge. Instead of feeling disconnected from other church-going kids, as I had at that Bible study with my friend Carol, I felt connected with a wide group of church-going kids. Kids that I would see frequently at Presbytery conferences, ones that I would see annually at larger synod events like ones held in Kansas City. Sometimes I only met these kids one time, like at the Presbyterian Youth Triennium, which hosted over 3,000 Presbyterian youth from all over the country. We would still keep in touch, those kids I met at these events. We would be pen pals, writing frequently for a while and then petering off. But then we were always so delighted to see each other as we would get together at the next gathering. These experiences also served me well for choosing to participate as the youth advisory delegate at the General Assembly in 1988. I loved everything about that experience, especially getting to know those other youth advisory delegates, those who were deeply connected with their Presbyterian congregation from across the country. I felt these kids from Presbytery youth events and from General Assembly, they got me. They understood who I was more than those folks in my high school. How very important that feeling of being understood is for youth, for all of us at any age, for that matter. These connections for me were grace, and they came because Rosemary and Jeff helped our youth group experience one of the gifts of our Presbyterian church. We are a connectional church. This means that we believe that our church is more than the local congregation. Our church includes all of the congregations that are connected in our denomination. Each local congregation stays connected with the larger church through presbyteries, through synods, and through the General Assembly. We come together and we do the work of Christ together, uniting together for ministry, mission, fellowship, mutual care, and accountability. In my case, growing up, what stands out is how our congregations united together for youth ministry, offering opportunities and growth, offering friends and lifelong memories, offering a deep sense of belonging, which was greater than any one congregation could have or could have done on its own. When added together, our congregations were stronger and more who God created us to be. We Presbyterians believe that we don't do so well on our own. We aren't scattered and individually guided like some other denominations, many kinds of Baptists and Congregationalists. We Presbyterians know that we need each other. Part of the marvelous grace of God is that as we use our gifts together, we experience the joy of being part of the body of Christ. This is what our scripture reading this morning from Paul's letter is all about. It may be difficult to grasp the full intent of Paul's analogy in the face of what surrounds us, the stout American individualism. But Paul continues the passage about gifts by comparing the church to a human body. And he even goes so far as to say that disciples of Christ are every bit as interconnected as the diverse parts of a human body. Let's picture it. We are as intimately and intricately connected as the fingers are to the hand, and the hand to the wrist, and the wrist to the arm, and the arm to the shoulder, and the shoulder to the torso, and all of it to the brain. In other words, we all need each other for faithfulness to Jesus Christ, because no one congregation can do it alone. We are just that interconnected. We are a body, a community of the risen Lord. In part, this means that Christ calls us to bear one another's joys and sorrows. But it also means that because we have not all been given the same gift for ministry, we are dependent on the complementary gifts of each other to do the work of Christ. My congregation of First Pres in Joplin had the gifts of Rosemary and Jeff, their creativity and energy, their organization, and their ability to get kids involved. Other congregations in the presbytery, which were smaller, didn't have leaders like them, but their youth were still able to participate in the Presbyterian youth gatherings and have the same life-changing experiences. Our church didn't have the lounge space for youth that some of the larger churches did, so those others would host the gatherings. We were interconnected, and our youth group was so deeply enriched by our connections with other parts of our body. We recognize the same thing happening here at Highland, especially as our youth this summer heads to places like the Urban Mission Camp at Government Street Presbyterian Church in Mobile, Alabama, and Montreat Youth Conference, both next month. At both of these places, our youth will interact with other Presbyterian youth, and they will develop friendships with folks who have a similar faith foundation to them. They will learn and grow together, living into the benefits of our connectional church. We have recognized these benefits of the connectional church over the last two decades through our partnerships in the Presbyterian Interracial Dialogue, the sharing and listening, the studying and learning, the singing and praying, the building and laughing that we have done together has deeply enriched our congregation. And now we share grieving with them as we all seek to respond in some way to the tragedy this week in Charleston. Our pain and our hopes are more profound because of our relationship with Grace, Delabrook, and Lloyd Presbyterian Churches. We are a connectional church. I hope that you will join us on July the 12th as we welcome the moderator of our connectional church, the Presbyterian Church USA. Dr. Heath Rada will share with us in worship and in conversation time in the afternoon. We will hear many stories of churches throughout our denomination and how God is working and moving among them. What an inspiring time that will be. We are one body. We are interconnected, made stronger together, doing the work of Jesus Christ. Please plan to join us on July the 12th. Because we know that we can't do this church thing alone. We need each other. We need glimpses and motivations of how God's grace is active in places near and far. We need to hear those stories.
We are connected with more than just this congregation. We learn and we grow and we do the work of Christ together. We become more of who God has created us to be. That is grace. Thanks be to God. Amen.